The Bible tells us through death, he has destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He is the conquering lion from the tribe of Judah. He roars, he reigns, he is victorious.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's broadcast is another in our series of messages on the Book of Revelation, and this evening, the minister of the Word will again be Dr. Raphael Thomas, one of our elders at Germantown Christian Assembly, who will take us to Revelation chapter 5, where the Apostle John has, in spirit, been summoned to glory to see things that will take place after the rapture of the church to glory. In his previous message on Revelation chapter 4, Dr. Thomas pointed out how in both chapters 4 and 5, the theme is one of worship, how that in chapter 4, the theme is worship of God as the sovereign and eternal creator. Now in chapter 5, the theme is one of worship of God for the work of redemption. So we invite you now to turn to Revelation chapter 5 and listen with us as Dr. Thomas brings the first part of his message, the lion and the lamb and the sealed scroll. Here now is Dr. Thomas.
I love you, Jesus. More than anything. Do you love Jesus more than anything? Amen. Can we tell him that we love him? Can we worship the Lamb that was slain, but is now alive forevermore? The one who is worthy to open the seal. The one alone who is able to do more than we can ask or think. We love you, Jesus, and we worship you this morning. May God bless our time of worship together as we join with the host in heaven and give him glory and honor and praise. Indeed, to the Lamb that was slain, but is now alive forevermore. Last week, we looked at chapter 4. We were drawn up into the heavens with John. John was invited, come up here. And John entered into heaven. But he entered into the future, because what is happening in chapter 4 and chapter 5 has not yet happened, but it is going to happen. What a joy it is, what a privilege it is to experience a foretaste of what is going to happen in the future. In chapter 4, we looked at the summon to heaven, the setting in heaven, and the sayings in heaven. We said that the setting in heaven is described in relation to the throne of God. And the sayings in heaven are declared in relation to the one who sits on the throne. In chapter 4, we got our first dose of worship in heaven. Today we will take the second dose. By the way, so far we have not heard of any adverse side effects. In chapter 5, we are still in heaven. And I would like to bring to your attention seven scenes or seven scenarios in the same setting. And we expect to finish on time. These are really just brief video clips. Pray that there will be no buffering. But we will try to capture the essence of chapter 5 by employing some S's. We will look at the scroll, the seals, the search, the Savior, the saints, the song, and the scene of all creation, worshiping the Lamb. Will you bow with me for prayer, please? Almighty God, once again we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is, who was and is to come. We pray for fresh anointing. We pray, Lord God, that you will touch my lips as I speak. We pray, Lord, you will touch our hearts, touch our ears as we listen to your word. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ against any resistance, either to the proclamation or the reception of your word. And we pray, Lord God, that your word will find fertile soil and bring forth much fruit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. John says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." One of the things we cannot miss in the opening of the chapter is that there was a scroll in the hand of the one who sits upon the throne. What is this scroll? Well, a scroll is something like a book. But whereas a book is opened, a scroll is unrolled. In those days, scrolls were made from the papyrus plant or from skins of different kinds of animals. The scroll was in the hand of God the Father, the one who was sitting upon the throne, which was in the center of the picture. What was this scroll? Many suggestions have been advanced. I will share the two most plausible ones. Number one, it is a representation of Christ's title deed or contract deed to the world. In ancient times, among the Romans as well as among the Hebrews, contracts were similarly delivered with seven seals. For example, it could include marriage contracts, rental and lease agreements, and bonds. This view explains that Christ is reclaiming his title deed to creation, which was forfeited through the entrance of sin in Genesis chapter 3. The second view, it contains the counsels of God as revealed in the visions beginning in Revelation 6. They are the judgments that will fall upon the earth. Robert Thomas says, and by the way, we are not related as far as I know, it is a history of the future that gives the successive steps leading to the inauguration of the world kingdom of Christ. I find these explanations valuable and plausible because Christ is here at his coronation to execute the counsels of the living God. He was found worthy to open the seals and to move history into fulfillment. The interesting thing about the scroll was that it was sealed with seven seals. And so let's now look at the seals. What are the seals? The seals are the judgments which will be poured out on the earth after the rapture of the church. So when the seals are open, I don't expect to be here. These seals are broken one by one. But we must note that when the seals are broken, it is not to read the contents of the scroll. It is to activate the contents. It is to put into effect the things that must happen. And you will hear what are contained in these seals later as Pastor Brian deals with the opening of the seals. So we have seen the scroll, the seals, but there was also a search in heaven. The Bible tells us in verse 2, "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?'" There was a search going on because history must come to a head. The counsels of God must be executed. God's plan must come to pass. But it is only someone who is worthy that will be able to open the seal. The Bible says, and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. No one was found worthy. They searched heaven, they searched the earth, and they searched under the earth, but there was no one worthy to open the scroll, and that broke John's heart. What then is going to happen to God's future? What's going to happen to what God has planned for this world? Sin is raging. The enemy is raging. What is going to happen to righteousness, justice, and truth? And he began to cry. He says in verse 4, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. Verse 5, but one of the elders said to me, John, don't cry, don't weep. Behold, hallelujah, I have some good news to you, for you. Behold, the Lamb from the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And that takes us to the Savior. Now, we have two images of the Savior. Contrasting images. The lion and the lamb. He is described first as the lion. The lion from the tribe of Judah. The most powerful animal in the animal kingdom. Demonstrating power and might and reign and superiority. Based on Genesis 49, 9 and 10. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. He was declared as the lion from the tribe of Judah. And we know that the priests of old, chosen from among men, were appointed from the tribe of Levite. But Hebrew tells us there was a change, there was a shift, because Jesus did not come from Levi. He is from the tribe of Judah. Men chosen on the earth were appointed from the tribe of Levi, but Jesus was appointed from Judah. He came as the lion from the tribe of Judah. I believe it brings to our attention also the truth of the incarnation. This is someone who is a descendant of David from the tribe of Judah. It is this one that has prevailed. Now, the word there, prevailed or triumphed or overcome, is very interesting. It says somebody is worthy to open the seals. Somebody is now able to do this job, which is only reserved for the person who is worthy. Why is he able to open the scroll? Because he has overcome. He has won the victory because he has prevailed. And I want to say, if somebody has won the victory, then someone has been defeated. The Bible tells us through death, he has destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he declared boldly that his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. Satan had mankind in the icy fingers, the grip of death for years. But Jesus Christ has destroyed him that had the power of death and brought release. He has brought into effect the full and total plan of God to execute those plans in the earth. For the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. He is the conquering lion from the tribe of Judah. He roars, he reigns, he is victorious. But when John heard the good news, he looked around, and I believe he was expecting to see the lion in all his glory. He was expecting to hear the lion roar. But then he looked, the Bible tells us, and he saw a lamb. This is the lamb. I believe as John took a closer look, he saw a familiar sight. Hallelujah! He saw the one upon whose breast he leaned when he was on the earth. He saw the one who hung on the cross of Calvary. He saw that one who bore the marks of the nail prints in his hands, whose side was pierced. And the Bible says, and behold, he looked. Hallelujah. I shall know Jesus. I shall know him. When redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know Jesus. I shall know him by the prints of the nail in his hands. I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne. So I wept much. You see, I prayed last night that if the church can experience what I experienced even as I prepared the message, then we would have been engaged in worship to the living God. We are not here to put on a show. We are here to worship. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep, behold, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. The first picture we have of the Savior is that of the lion. But we also have the picture of the lamb. It says that lamb had seven horns. Now, a literal lamb may have two horns. The horn represents power. So a lamb with seven horns is all powerful. He is omnipotent. This lamb may look simple, but he is all powerful. The lamb had seven eyes. He had complete knowledge. Not only is the lamb omnipotent, but the lamb is omniscient, all knowing. It goes on to say, it had the seven spirits of God having been sent out into all the earth. The lamb is omnipresent. So the passage is bringing to our attention that not only is this lamb one who identifies with humanity as the seed of David from the tribe of Judah, but this lamb is God himself, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omniscient God, all-powerful God, the same God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews 1 tells us, God, who at 100 times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in the heaven, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, God himself, fully God and fully man. He is worthy. It is a key in the book of Revelation, for it appears 28 times, the Lamb of God. It represents the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at Exodus chapter 12, you may turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. That's Exodus chapter 12. They were preparing to leave captivity, to leave bondage, to break free from the powers of the enemy. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into the houses to strike you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of the lamb had to be up on the doorpost, and they had to remain under the blood. The only safe place to be in this time is to be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, some preachers are criticized for preaching slaughterhouse salvation. But my Bible tells me that Jesus, that if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled in those days were able to make people acceptable unto God, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living Christ, the living God? It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that is the remedy for sin. The Bible tells us, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Church, we need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our families. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the Lord's own army none can overthrow. There is victory in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is healing and deliverance from the powers of sin and Satan by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.